Well, we arrive at our conclusion here with Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It's been so good to be with you this weekend, and I hope and pray that as you return, you have safe travels back home, and that you will be able to take something with you from this retreat to enhance your Lent and actually your whole life. And like we spoke, like we pondered this last conference just an hour or so ago, hour and a half ago, one of the ways you can have zeal as a beloved disciple is proclaim the good news of Jesus here at the retreat center. My parish, we're very avid promoters of it. We have 9 on this retreat here, and I can assure you it's not just because I'm here. We have a good number at many retreats throughout the year. We usually number something like 50, 60 women, I think, and maybe 25, 30 men, I think, Father, is that correct? Something like that. We have quite a few that come every year, and if every parish would really promote retreats, we could really fill this for Father. He runs a great program here, and my compliments to him. So it's a as you probably experienced this weekend, just finding quiet time with the Lord, it's a treasure of our diocese. So one of the ways you can be a beloved disciple, like John the Evangelist, who went out and shared the good news with others, he understood his role, that he was equipped and called and set apart to spread the gospel. He drew people to Jesus. And so one way you could do that in a special way is to share the beauty of a retreat here and encourage others to do the same. That would be very important to do. There's a story about Cyrus, the mighty ancient Persian emperor, who once apparently captured a prince and his family, his wife and kids as well. And when they were brought before him, Cyrus, this Persian emperor, asked the captured prince, "What will you give me if I release you?" And the prince humbly replied, "Sir, I would give you half of my wealth." Cyrus continued, "What if I release you and your children? What will you give me?" And the prince answered, "All of my wealth, everything I possess." But Cyrus pushed further. "And what if I release you and your children and your wife?" And the prince apparently responded, "Your Majesty, then I will give everything I possess, all my wealth, and I will give myself my life." And apparently Cyrus, this really strong, almost with no feelings, emperor, was very impressed by that answer, and he decided that this prince is not a threat, and he released the prince and his wife and all his children. And as they were returning home, the prince, in all sincerity, said, "You know, Cyrus was quite a kind of a harsh man, but he was also kind of handsome, didn't you think?" And the wife, with a deep look of love for her husband, said, "Well, I didn't even notice." She said, "I could only keep my eyes on you. I could only keep my eyes on you, the one who was willing to give himself for me." Powerful story, a good image. For Lent is the time for us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who was willing to give his life for us, and in fact, did give his life for us. In today's first reading, we heard how Adam and Eve took their eyes off God. They began putting their eyes on themselves and seeking self-satisfaction and what might be good for themselves. They took their eyes off God. They saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes and desirable for gain, are the words of the first reading. The devil tricked them in wanting to be wise as God, something they could never be. Their eyes were turned to themselves and what they thought would be desirable for themselves. The example of Jesus in the gospel today is exactly the opposite. He never takes his eyes off his Father and his Father's will. The devil tries desperately to do so, to take Christ's eyes off the Father and the Father's will. In all three temptations, the devil wants Jesus to use his divine power for his own personal benefit. Jesus is being tempted to put his eyes toward himself, to look after his own self-interests. The three temptations Satan put to our Lord were meant to make Jesus forget his purpose in life, his mission of redeeming the world. Jesus was tempted to keep his eyes on himself, to look at getting bodily comforts for himself, to look at getting self-glory from others for himself, to look at getting all worldly possessions and power for himself. But Jesus never takes his eyes off of his Father and his Father's will. This also needs to be part of the life of the beloved disciple. When we look at that theme on your sheet that deals with John chapter 19 and the scene of our Blessed Mother and John the Cross, we read in that chapter, "Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, St. John, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home." This is an amazing passage. There was a lot of chaos. There was a lot of danger. There was a mob crowd. If you've ever been around a mob type crowd, even if you're half a block away, further than that away, it's scary. It's like a storm coming. And you don't even want to be closer than a mile from that tornado. It's scary. There's a scary feeling of it. And yet, Mary and John are at the foot of the cross. What enabled them to be there was that they kept their eyes on Jesus. We've come almost, in a certain sense, full circle. After discovering what it is to be a disciple of Jesus, a beloved disciple, that John felt he was the most loved in the world and he couldn't name himself because everybody's the most loved in the world, then our first topic was Christ's invitation to come and see. Come and see where I remain. Come and see. And they remained with him all that day. In this passage, we understand that in this amazing moment in Christ's life when he's dying for the universe, for all people of all time, of all ages, before him, at his time, and forever until the end of time, we have John and Mary coming and seeing. They keep their eyes on him in the midst of the dangers. You know, even St. Peter tried when he said, "Is that you coming across the water, Jesus, on the Sea of Galilee?" And there's the storm, you know, in the boat. And Christ says, "Yes." And he says, "If it is you, tell me to come to you." And Christ says, "Come." And Peter gets out out of the boat and starts walking on the water. I don't know many people that would even try that, but he did. But then he began to see the storm, how big the storm is. Storms are scary. And he took his eyes off Jesus. He begins to sink. But this is amazing that Mary and John are in this storm, and they kept their eyes on Jesus. And in the midst of all this, John would have witnessed the eyes of Christ. You know, last conference we talked about contemplating the eyes of Christ. He would have witnessed the eyes of Christ in this moment when he's being given a mission, and he knows he's equipped for it, to take care of Christ's mother. He knows he's equipped. He's being consecrated at this moment to take care of his Christ's mother. The eyes would have been something really powerful. It would have been like, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. I mean, it would have been a real powerful communication. His hands are immovable. He can't move his hands. He can't point. But his eyes would have communicated something. It would have communicated love and a real mission, a real request from the heart. One of those contemplating the face of Christ that St. John Paul II talks about that St. John would have never forgotten. He would have understood that this is what his dear, loving Jesus wanted him to do. He owed it to Jesus because Jesus is loving him unto death and saving him and giving him this special mission, this special task, setting him aside to take care of his mother and equipping him, giving him all the grace he would need to do so. So they kept their eyes on Jesus, and that's what we as beloved disciples must do. Our basic temptations in life are the same as we heard in the first reading today and in the gospel when the devil's trying to tempt Jesus. Our temptations are the same, basic temptations. Bodily comforts and pleasure, self-glory from others, and wealth and power. The truth is, all these worldly things are empty bubbles. They are empty of lasting glory and ultimately leave us with nothing. Jesus shows us, he shows us, the beloved disciples of Jesus, that to serve God is to surrender ourselves to him unconditionally and in all situations. To do that, we must take our eyes off ourselves and keep our eyes on Jesus. And we also have to understand that just as this beloved disciple never names himself, so that we all know we are the beloved disciples of Jesus, we also know that in a real powerful message here is that Jesus is saying, I'm giving my mother to every one of you. Not only will I equip you with my grace to do the mission I call for each one of you, but I will give my mother to you as I'm giving my mother to this beloved disciple to help you, to take care of you, and to protect you. Mary has been given to us so that we can be her children and be cared for and protected by her. With her, with her eyes on Jesus, with the knowledge we have of being so loved by Jesus, the beloved disciples of Jesus, then all the allurements of this world will not lead us astray. And in judgment, if asked about the handsome glories of this world, we will be able to respond, I didn't even notice. I could only keep my eyes on Jesus, the one who was willing to give himself for me.